Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello. Hello?
Hello, are you there? This is Chauncey Brown at U.S. National Politics. Are you there?
Yes. Hi, Chauncey. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is this Tricia?
Yes, it is. Hi. Glad to join you.
I apologize for the technical difficulty. In the beginning of the show, my Wi-Fi shut out, and then I had to set up another connection. So I want to apologize to you and our audience for the technical difficulty in the beginning of the show. This is U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. My guest is national U.S. Senate candidate from New Jersey. Tricia Flanagan is on the line to talk about her plans for New Jersey and the United States of America. Welcome to the show, Tricia.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be with you and your great listeners.
There's a lot going on in our country today. I know you've outlined your 5-point plan to the nation. Would you like to give a brief background for the American people, for those who are not aware of who you are, a little bit of background about yourself, who you are, and let's talk a little bit about some of your plans for New Jersey and then for America.
Oh, absolutely. Be glad to. And as you just outlined, America and New Jersey, our communities, our districts, we need a plan. And our situation on the ground in New Jersey is dire in that Cory Booker has left us basically without a U.S. senator in that seat. He's turned his back on New Jersey and, in my opinion, all America, and he's turned his heart against us as well. And his lack of vision, his lack of action, particularly the lack of a plan for not just him, but the other competitors that I'm facing, has left us in this space where I am eager to jump in with, as you mentioned, my 5-point plan solution. It covers everything from completely revamping our healthcare system. We have to get rid of Obamacare, first and foremost. And Mitch McConnell, as well as our president, have both said that. That repeat, full repeal and replacement of Obamacare will be one of the major tasks we tackle at the U.S. Senate level in coming sessions after the 2020 election. And I've proposed my what I'm calling my American Healthcare Restoration Act. It's the crown jewel of my 5-point plan because it leverages my 25 years of experience in virtually every sector of healthcare. So I'm putting my experience to the task to increase access to quality care and innovative treatment for American healthcare choice, as well as decrease premiums by about a half to a third. And most importantly, it restores choice to the American people and takes it out of the hands of government where it never should have been to begin with. And then to round it out, I'm tackling everything from full immigration reform, which includes building and funding the wall, because that's the task of Congress. As well as I'm focusing on my living economy plan that lets New Jersey lead the way to be the next technology corridor in our country. And then I'm actively forming a Constitution Caucus that will restore our constitutional rights, and that covers everything from our Second Amendment to making sure that parents have healthcare choice for their children. So it's a lot to tackle. That's an overview, and I look forward to taking a deeper dive into any one of those elements that you'd like to talk about.
Well, that is great. I know that you have put together a 5-point comprehensive plan for America. I just want to digress for a second and talk about a couple of Donald Trump's accomplishments. He just signed the first phase of the China, U.S.-China agreement. He just got approved through Congress, the U.S.-Mexico trade agreement. Two most powerful things that have been put in place to try to put America first and to try to keep our economy booming. What are your thoughts about the passage of the U.S.-MCA as well as the first phase of the China deal?
Sure. You're right. Two critical pieces of America's economic move forward. I first off wish that it certainly could have been done sooner, meaning the USMCA could have been ratified sooner had Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats been doing their job instead of focusing on this sham of impeachment. But it shows how much President Trump is able to get done, even in the face of such staunch opposition. But yes, the USMCA replaces NAFTA, which was a horrible deal, especially for the United States agricultural industry. U.S. farmers were put last in that deal, and now with USMCA, we open up everything from dairy farming to be able to trade back with Canada to agricultural benefits that will work across our country. There are a number of issues that really put America first in that equation, as you said, and the China deal. This shows what we can accomplish economically when we lead from a position of strength. I firmly believed all along and supported our president all along in pushing back on China whether it be theft of our intellectual property, whether it be, you know, monetary manipulation, to everything that is addressed in this trade deal. A trade war was feared by the Democrats because they wanted the status quo. And now by leading President Trump has shown that that was the way to, you know, break into all of the holes, the strongholds that China had on us. And again, our United States economy is going to thrive within that trade position. We still have a ways to go to fully walk that through, but this is a tremendous first step forward. And the markets are – look at what the market did in response. This shows that even practically speaking, this was the way to go.
I could not agree more that Donald Trump has risen in the midst of adversity. The Congress has planned his impeachment from day one, and it is a shame that Congress and the left and the Democrats are putting politics over the American people. There are other issues that Congress could have talked about. You've touched upon your five-point plan, really touches upon impacting families across the country immediately. But this Congress has not even tackled and addressed infrastructure spending, has not touched prescription plan medication, has not even worked on immigration reform. It is really a shame where we are at this point in our nation's history, where the U.S. Congress is using and misusing the Constitution to impeach a president, a duly elected president, that is putting America first. And we're thankful for having people like you standing up across the country for the American people and the Constitution. For those that are tuning in, you're listening to U.S. National Politics. I'm your host, Chauncey Brown. We are honored to have on our show an American patriot, daughter of a former Navy veteran, Tricia Flanagan, running for U.S. Senate against Cory Booker out of New Jersey. You did mention, I think, one of your 5 points is immigration, and that's very, very important. Immigration is, with reform, has many aspects to it, and one is securing our border. And it's ironic that when we talk about securing our borders, you know, people always on the left talk about that, that it's not a humanitarian crisis. But one of the things that's not talked about when we talk about securing our border is we never talk about, we talk about the threat of terrorism, but we never talk about the possible threat of these people coming here and not being immunized, and we don't know what diseases they might be carrying. I hope that when you get into the Senate, that might be an issue that you may raise, that we look at, that it's not just terrorism, it's not just drugs across our border, but we have to make sure that these people are not traveling with any type of communicable diseases. What do you think about that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, at the forefront of what I want to address is every element that is a threat to our American security. And by that, it's not, it's economic. It's a threat from, you know, from a national security perspective. It's also, you know, I'd like to unpack that illegal drug, illicit drug threat that we have. And it's not just our Mexican border. It's, you know, we don't hear a lot talked about things like Senate Bill 386 that will change the immigration structure and really open the doors to one country only for the next 10 years, and that would be India. And when we look at the, you know, in my own industry, before I was a politician, being a private citizen, I've spent decades building my own business, and technology is one of America's most important assets, both intellectual property-wise as well as in economic development for our own, within our own borders. And when we look at what is what doors are being opened to letting you know to undercut our wages by bringing in predominantly immigration from just one country, to how that's going to work for our skilled workers, That's another element that nobody is talking about. But to your exact point, I mean, you know, I started, I think I shared with you on prior interviews that I started my career as a biochemist. And so, you know, looking at the health threats that you just spoke about, that is something that is of utmost importance. When you look at the countries where, if you're talking just our southern border, where, you know, the countries where these caravans in the past had traveled through, these are countries that have, you know, no mandatory vaccination laws. And as these caravans had passed through those countries, they're assaulting our borders with not just the threat of illegal entry, but with bringing those diseases as well. It's something that has to be dealt with in a comprehensive fashion. And the element of my 5-point plan that addresses that, I have a piece that addresses every component of that, including the elements that I just mentioned and that you just spoke of, but also, you know, looking at the marijuana legalization issue. I won't get too far in the weeds on that, but that's a national security issue because the cartels are not going to give up that ground, and they're sending, plenty of reinforcements from their side into the states that are legalizing marijuana to make sure that they maintain their ground. Very few people are talking. I haven't heard anybody talk about the national security impact of that, but that's why we have to look at every nook and cranny and make sure that Americans are safe first and foremost. My plan does that.
It's interesting that you bring up the point about the cannabis issue or the marijuana issue. What is your position on that? I think by us having the conversation, I think that you're in favor of it medically, but you're not in favor of it recreationally. I think that is your position, if I understand from our other conversations. But for a point of clarification, where do you stand on that issue?
Well, sure. And, you know, fortunately, we have a lot of data now that we can point to because of the legalization in several states. And whereas the proponents of legalization of marijuana have argued that it'll make us safer and that it won't be a health issue, the exact reverse has happened. Marijuana has been now proven, as we suspected, to be a gateway drug. Marijuana has been proven, as we suspected, to deleteriously affect young developing brains. We also see the harm that even as it's introduced into the vaping industry, it's the illegal aspect of it that has encroached into the healthcare aspect of, you know, kids are dying. So, yes, my position is number one. First and foremost, we have to treat medical marijuana and the pain alleviation and the chemotherapeutic benefit. We have to treat that as a separate entity from having it available on the open market as you mentioned, as a recreational drug. It's a drug. The operative word in that statement is drug, and it needs to be regulated as such, and opening the door to this legalization aspect has really opened more of a Pandora's box, and the more data we get in, the more problems we see are resulting from this open door.
Thank you for your insight on that. On a national level, we have a big homeless crisis, veterans, and we has also identified with the data that most homelessness is based on either mental illness or a combination of prior drug abuse. How do you plan, or what are your thoughts on trying to tackle, and you're from the state of New Jersey where homelessness is a problem as well in our three larger cities. So what do you think about that, and what could you bring to the table to help maybe raise or alleviate the problem of homelessness in our country?
Yeah, it's an issue. And you mentioned homeless veterans. You know, coming from a military family, you mentioned my dad served his career in the Navy. My grandfather served in World War I. Veterans have a special place near and dear to my heart. And I work with a homeless veteran in up by way of New Jersey to make sure that he is getting what he needs. He lives in the woods, and last winter we got him blankets, we got him sleeping bags, we got him the elements that he needed to stay safe and warm. And the tragedy is that it's because of the gap in government, and what I believe is the fault of the Democrat establishment that has run New Jersey for far too long. I think that that's where the big gap that needs to be filled resides. So to that point, there are very few U.S. senators, in my opinion, that use that office to its fullest capacity as the Constitution and our forefathers really envisioned. That's part of my passion in running for this office, because I think that once we fill that U.S. Senate seat that Cory Booker now holds in name only, I believe that, look, I'm already doing the job. This homeless veteran that I work with, he had already contacted Cory Booker's office and Bob Menendez's office several times, and they wouldn't step up. And when he contacted me, we got him help within 48 hours. And so I'm already looking at the solutions, already working with the solutions that we need to bring to the table. But the larger homelessness crisis is partly due to the economic situation in New Jersey that Phil Murphy, our liberal governor, has helped to create, sending jobs away from our state. I have a full plan to bring those jobs back, and as I mentioned earlier, to make New Jersey really a leader in technology, which we already should be, and even in the oil refinery business, blue collar, white collar jobs. That will get the lifeblood of our economy to a point where it needs to be. And I'm already working on forming an economic commission in the inner cities to get businesses interested and involved, bringing their resources in to revitalize these communities, which bring with it health and human resources, not on the government level, but leveraged within the private sector. We only have to go to the DMV to see what the government does to offices that we need help from. I'm looking at new solutions and providing them in a new and different way to make sure that we solve what the Democrats broke.
I could not agree with you more on that position. And, we have to address these issues. What I want to raise to America is what I've noticed by interviewing not just you, but many candidates across the country that are conservative. I've noticed that there's a different dynamic in this election, and you are a good example, as you just explained. I'm noticing that we have public servants, people that are running for office already doing the job, as if they were already a United States senator, if they were already in Congress, developing programs, developing work opportunities, helping the homeless. I've noticed that with this movement of new 2020 candidates, that they're already engaged on the front line of solving the problems and not waiting to Congress and the Senate to start working on these problems. I find it very refreshing, and I raise that issue because I want American people start looking at people that are already engaged in public service, already engaged in raising up their community and trying to solve these problems, versus people making promises to get to the office and then they forget. So I want to commend you for being engaged and involved on the front line on a daily basis on all of these issues that you are so dear and passionate about. And we're very, very thankful to have you on the show. I want to talk about education briefly. As you know, as we look at these new millennials, and a lot of these higher educational or universities now are preaching socialism in our higher education. And what I've realized for me as being a child and now as an adult and having children, that I realize the educational system is lacking education and awareness of American history, civic responsibility, of what is a public servant, and what is a statesman. And I think that the young people, some of the young people, at least on the left, that are getting involved in politics today, it appears do not understand how American history or American government is supposed to work for the people. What is your understanding and what is your thought process about that? And do we need to do some things differently in the educational system to raise our level of consciousness, not only of American history, but to allow our children to compete globally in this society mm-hmm. today?
Yeah, this is a critical issue. You know, I have three children, and, you know, our nation's children are our future. And so, you know, that is where we should be putting our most precious resources, because they are our most precious gifts to this world, to this country. And so that is something near and dear to my heart as well. I am a great proponent of school choice. And I've been honored, it's one of the honors of my lifetime, to be endorsed by Israel Teitelbaum in New Jersey. He's been a school choice proponent for over 35 years, and he gave me a beautiful endorsement that I'm humbled by. You know, he talks about and has worked his entire life to make sure that all children get the best education possible. And I think that, you know, when we look at the root of what has happened, we look at the public school system that has been eroding over decades of time. And it's, you know, it's a system that has been pushed more toward, again, government intervention and government mandate, taking parental choice out of the equation. So really the solution on the first pass is, well, let's bring parents back into that choice, and let's bring parents back into that decision, and let's have a board and teachers who are fully engaged in teaching the truth to our children, rather than being mandated from unions and from government entities that have no interest in really what's best for our children. I think that's been proven. I think that's on its face what has happened. When you compare the performance on every measure, particularly on civics and on history, when you compare public schools and the failing systems thereof to the independent school systems and, you know, the charter schools and you know, if parents could, you know, their precious tax dollars are being mandated to be used to fund a failing system. Let's give those tax dollars back to the parents who know better than anybody where they should have their children educated and how they should be educated. And it's been the biggest, again, the Democrat lie. That if we take more money and throw it at a problem, you know, we're going to get a better result. No, we're just going to get more failure. And so that has been one of the things I'm fighting especially hard to provide to New Jersey as well as to all America.
Tricia, you know, we always have great interviews, and we're out of time, unfortunately.
Sure.
Please share with the American people. First, thank you for your insight, input on your issues and on how you're to help the American people. If you can, in 30 seconds, can you please share with the American people how they can reach out to you, how they can participate in your campaign, and how they can donate?
Sure. And thank you so much for all of your time. I look forward to the next discussion. Please find me at flanaganforsenate.org. That's FlanaganFor Senate.org. And you can find me on Twitter at New Day for NJ, as well as on Facebook. Same handle, at New Day for NJ, at Tricia Flanagan for U.S. Senate. I look forward to staying close on the journey. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We want to thank Tricia Flanagan, U.S. Senate candidate from New Jersey, being on our show today, running against Cory Booker. Please look her up. She's going to be on our sister station tomorrow at 5 o'clock at New Jersey Conservative Talk Radio at Blogspot. Also, you can follow U.S. Politics Today on Twitter. You could also follow us at U.S. National Politics at 101 on Facebook. Please join us for our next show, which will be held on the 22nd of this week, on Wednesday at 2 p.m., as we host military historian and Korea War expert, Korea War expert, Risa Kirkland. We thank you all again for listening in. God bless America, and please stay tuned for our future updates. God bless.